So there we go. Open your Bibles, please, to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians 5, chapter 4, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans. Then you come into all those IAN books. So if you're doing like, if you're in like sword drills, you're going to start looking for IAN. And then you get to that section that is General Electric, Pepsi-Cola, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. It's the third of those. If you get to Thessalonians, you're a little bit too far. A little bit too far. Last Sunday, we finished up our three-part series on the gospel. We saw a whole bunch of really, to me, and I hope to you, really cool things, great news, truths that are true because of the vast extent of the gospel. We looked at the macro purposes of the gospel, of God providing redemption for the world, not salvation, but redemption, which is different. He was all about righting the wrongs of Adam. There's just so much packed into the gospel. And then Pastor Dave had a sermon really on the practical side of the gospel. It's really boots on the ground kind of stuff. Fishers of Men was the title. It was a good one. If you haven't listened to it, go listen to it. It's on our website. And then we came back last week and we talked about really more the personal purposes of the gospel, and we got to like 10 purposes of the gospel, but there's a whole lot more in the gospel. This morning, we're going to start a new series. It's a topical, theological, exegetical, expository. It's a mini series, 6 sermons called God Is. I want to thank my friend Dave for creating this slide for me. He's a really terrific guy out in Washington. Our God Is series, and it's going to run through almost to the end of October, and then Garrett is going to be at, where'd you go, Garrett? Garrett left the room. Oh, Garrett is teaching downstairs. Okay, Garrett is going to take the last Sunday of October, and then Dave is going to take first Sunday of November, because Mary and I are going to go for her mom's 100th birthday down in Texas. We're going to check on my mom, who's 96, so that'll be a real blast down there. This is going to be about Bible truths that are theological and practical. Theological and practical. Yes, theology can be practical. It can be, it can apply to your everyday life. But in my mind, this series is largely tactical. It is purposeful because this is information that our enemy, the devil, absolutely does not want us to get a hold of. He didn't like this stuff. He didn't like people know what's true about God. And so he's going to oppose us in this. He does not want us to learn, and he especially does not want us to live the truths that we're going to pile in here and stack in over these next 6 weeks. But why? Why does he get so upset when we start this kind of teaching? And it's because these truths make my life and your life and our life together and our life outside this building make sense. Right? This stuff we're going to learn in these 6 weeks fit together with your real life experience because they add fuel to your purpose in life. And your purpose in life is to know Christ, to live for Christ, and to tell people about him. That's your purpose, right? Once you are born into the family of God, you take on a mission, and your mission is to live for him, to live among the body of believers, and to live out your faith outside here before people who need to know the Lord Jesus like you do too, so that they might love him and live for him too, right? Philippians 4, Paul writes this, "Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellence and if anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things. The things you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. Wow, that's good stuff. It is also true that if you set your mind on whatever is wrong, whatever is impure, whatever is ugly, whatever has a bad reputation, in other words, if you set your mind on, Dick said this yesterday, lies, he said that in the men's Bible study, set your lines on things that are not true, set yourself on lies that your enemy wants you to believe, then you will not experience God's peace. That's just the way it is. Well, I don't know about you, but I want to experience God's peace. Anybody else open for that? Like, okay, that God's peace thing is a good place to be. So here's the deal. Our enemy, also known as the father of lies, the deceiver of the brethren, the prince of darkness, is all about convincing everybody, and that includes you who are genuinely in God's family. You've been brought into his family by salvation, by grace, through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. He wants to convince you and the whole world of lies. He wants to convince you about lies in your past, lies about people that you know, lies about how life ought to be, and especially lies about God. Because if you believe wrongly about God, there's a lot of other stuff that you're gullible to. A lot of other stuff that you're gullible to. Over the past number of years, and I specifically think of a pastor, a friend of mine who's pastoring now out in Seattle, Washington, Christian counselors, Christian scholars have been following this thought that dysfunction, fears, failures, phobias, sinful behaviors are the result of a truth about God that somehow has been misbelieved. A truth about God that has somehow been misbelieved or believed wrongly or just an outright big fat lie. Sometimes we function in an unbelieving way, even though we're born again. We believe things. We allow our enemy, the devil, to convince us of things that are not true, and we behave poorly because of that. Many people in various areas of their lives and in various periods of their lives are operative unbelievers. I'm careful to say that now. It doesn't mean that you're going to hell. It's just in a particular area in your life, you're not functioning in faith. You're not functioning in truth. So it makes sense, if nobody else but to me, so since I'm your pastor, I'm going to teach you this stuff. It makes sense that mining out of the scriptures truths about God, promises about God, training ourselves, as the Apostle Paul says, to think on those things that are good, that's helpful to living and walking in faith and to being a witness outside of these walls. So here's our goal in this series, that our confessional faith will become functional faith, right? The words that we attest to become the ways that we walk in, right? Practical. The theoretical truths of Scripture become the practical and real ways that we live out our daily lives. That's the goal. Six weeks. That our talking faith really becomes our walking faith. Okay, here's the deal. Be sure you have a writing utensil. They're in the pew. Take notes. Because God is going to probably say something into your heart that doesn't come out of this mouth. And if he whispers something into your heart, be sure you get it down, right? God is going to whisper into your heart something more important that comes out of this pastor's mouth. It always, always, always happens. And there will be homework. So if you're in the adult class over here, Dave gave you homework for next week. There will be homework. And there is a homework assignment as we're coming to the end of this morning. Today, we open with the profound, very, very simple theological truth that God is good. God is good. And Ed believes everything that God is involved in is filtered through his goodness. So this is going to be the main foundational stone. God is good. That means God the Father is good, God the Son is good, God the Holy Spirit is good. God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, who are one, is good. But there are times, there are days, when way down deep, we do not believe that he is, functionally. In our heads, we get it. But in our walk, in the decisions we make, yeah. So that this big truth is going to break out today in three truths. Here's truth number one. God is good all the time. Right? Right. God is good all the time. Right? Pretty simple. Okay, got you some verses here. I think they're on your outline. If they're not, write them down. If we get to another verse, be sure that you get that down too, because part of your homework is going to be to review these. If you're a parent, a grand, or a great, or a great-great, teach them to the children in your family. Teach them to yourself. Teach them to your children. These are important. There is no time that God is not good. None. There's no time that God is not good. God is never bad. He's never naughty. He's never confusing. God is good all the time. Do you know God never thinks a bad thought? He doesn't. God never even thinks a bad thought. He never acts inappropriately. He never does that. Nothing about God is corrupt, immoral, malevolent, or malicious. Everything about God is totally and completely good. Do you believe that? Is God, but is God, I mean, really, is God really good all the time? What about times that are really hard? Is God good when life's hard? Is God good in times of sadness or when sickness knocks you down? Okay. What about when things go wrong? What about when things, if they go wrong in your family, they go wrong at school, they go wrong at work, is God still good? Yeah, we know that, right? We know the facts of that. So if you need goodness in your life, if you need goodness in your day, if you need goodness in this very moment, know that God is good. He's good all the time. David writes in Psalm 25, 7, "Do not remember the sins of my youth or my transgressions. According to your loving kindness, remember me for your goodness' sake, O Lord. Good and upright is the Lord." Remember, L-O-R-D, all capitals, is the Hebrew word Yahweh. This is the word for Jehovah when it is all uppercase, all capital letters, L-O-R-D. This is Yahweh. Good and upright is HaYahweh, is the Lord. Therefore, he instructs sinners in the way. He leads the humble in justice, and he teaches the humble his way. All the paths of the Lord are loving kindness and truth to those who keep his covenant and his testimonies. God is good all the time. God is good, even when we don't deserve him to be good. Even when we deserve God to be mean. Even when we have outstanding sin debts on our heavenly ledger, God is good. And his goodness should inspire us to say so. God's goodness should inspire us to say so, just like David does in Psalm 100. 100, verse 4, "Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name." That's a great description of worship, by the way. Why? Because, or for, the Lord is good. Notice that present tense verb. The function of the present tense is continuously. God is good. His loving kindness is everlasting, and his faithfulness to all generations. Everlasting means all the time. Everlasting means all the time. Every moment of every day, forever, to all generations. This goes both ways, from eternity past all the way into eternity future, and even right now, in this moment, on this corner of this county, in North America, world, solar system, universe, God is good at this very instant. You should smile about that. Okay. It's a good news. It's a good word. God is good now, and you can count on him to also be good tomorrow. Whew. Right? Something is coming to you in this coming week. God, he's already there, and he's good already there. He's waiting on you to get there so he can be good on you, in you, around you, through you. Right? God is good. He's already in that moment. He will never, ever not be good. Never, ever. Truth number one, God is good all the time. Okay, truth number two, God is good and causes good. God is good and causes good, and I think you can pencil in all the time. Doesn't feel good to all people, but it is. Since God is good all the time, everything he causes is good. In every life on earth, right? The rain falls on the righteous and the unrighteous. We see that even today. God is blessing the earth because he's good. And especially he blesses in the life of his born-again children. Especially there. Look what Jesus said in Matthew 7, beginning of verse 9. What man is there among you, when his son asks him for a loaf, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he not give him a snake, will he? If you then, being evil, sinful, right, being evil or sinful, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give what is good to those who ask him? To those who ask him. God is always good, and he's always good to everybody. He's always good to everybody, and especially if you're in a saving relationship by grace through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ with God the Father, if you've placed your hope in him as your only hope for heaven, he says that if you ask your Heavenly Father, Jesus says this, if you ask your Heavenly Father who is good all the time, he will give you the good that you ask for. And you know what? He'll probably give you better than you ask for. And when you ask for the wrong stuff, God doesn't say, Ed doesn't think God says no. I think God says wait. I think God says better. He says better. He gives you what is good even when you ask and miss the mark. He gives you what is good. In our Strongman book, guys, when you get in the preface on this, you'll see Pat Morley writes there, because God is good, your life will not turn out as you planned. He only causes good to happen. And somehow, even when it seems like tragedy, God is raising up good. Because that's the way he is. The Apostle Paul says in Romans 8:28, famous verse, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God and to those who are called according to his purpose. But does God use sickness for our good? Yeah, thank you. There you go. What about if I lose my job? I mean, what about if I get fired? As the pastor of Faith Bible Church, is God working good in that? Yeah, he is. I don't get it. I won't like it. I'll be all mad. I'll be pushed out of shape. No, I won't. But if God is in it, then we celebrate it. He will bring good even to that. What if a huge fire breaks out and takes my home away? Yeah. God brings good out of that too. It absolutely happens. Some great friends of ours lost their entire home and all their possessions except what they could jam into one car. They had 15 minutes notice of that car fire that came through and that big firenado that came through their houses. Nothing. I mean, there is ash on the ground. Ash on the ground there. But God is good even in that. What if the 2018 midterm elections don't turn out to elect the person that I'm voting for? God is still good. And God will be causing good around the world, even if it doesn't immediately look like good. We trust God that good will come, even if the elections don't turn out the way that we hope that they do. Of course, we all hope that they do. But there are folks that struggle and act out and act wrongly in hard times. Or they get angry with God when life is confusing. Or they fail to see all the available good that God has in their particular situation. They miss seeing the source of all that goodness. See what Jesus' little brother wrote? We saw this earlier a few weeks ago. Every good thing and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shifting shadow. It's right of our James study just back about the beginning of the summer. God never varies in his goodness. He's good all the time. He's doing good all the time. And he never changes. There's no variation in God executing his goodness. And everything good that comes to you, every good that is available for your challenging days, finds its source where? In him. It finds its source in him. God is good all the time. He causes good all the time, all over the world, and especially to his children. So, I'm careful to say this. So what? What difference does it make in your life or in the life of someone you know who cannot see beyond their situation to see the Savior? What difference does it make that God is good and God is doing good all the time? Very politely, very reverently, we ask the question, so what? So this, truth number three, God is good, so we do not have to look elsewhere for good. When something good happens, what do we say? God is good. When something really crummy happens, we don't necessarily say that. Right? If it doesn't, when we can't see the good right away, when we can't feel the good warming us inside, what we say in the good times, we fail to claim in the hard times. We fail to claim in the hard times. We function out of belief, or like we have temporary amnesia in those things. We fail to factor in. Too many people, believers including, okay, I'm pointing my way to, this means you, too many of us tend to look in the wrong places for good. We look to the wrong people to feel good. We look to the wrong people and things to feel good. We look to people, we look to pleasures, we look to possessions, and that is the bullseye of the kind of thinking that our enemy wants us to think. That's the centerpiece. He wants you to think wrong. He whispers, substitute feeling good for God's good. Or in trying times, forget all God's benefits. The prophet Jeremiah counters those kind of lies. Are there any among the idols of the nations who give rain? Thank you, Lord, for the timing of the rain today. Are there any among the idols of the nations who give rain? Or can the heavens grant showers? Is it not you, O Lord, our God, Adonai Eloheinu? Is it not you? Therefore, we hope in you. We hope in you, Lord. In real time, in life's dark moments, we drift into the arms of lesser deities. We dance, slow dance with little g gods. We're born again. I hope you all are. If not, let's talk right after church. We can get that worked out. We believe in Jesus, but there are days when our circumstances push aside truth. The truths that we speak out of our mouth, our creeds, those things that we believe and say, do not inform our deeds or our needs as consistently as they should. Cheer up. The Lord of lies has been deceiving even the followers of God for literally thousands of years. You're not the only one on the planet or the only one in history that gets bumped off center like this. The Apostle John recorded the wrong reaction and the right reaction on a day when following Jesus got real complicated. John 6, as a result of this, many of his disciples withdrew and were not walking with him anymore. So Jesus said to the 12, "You do not want to go away also, do you?" I love Simon Peter. You know, he's a big blustery guy. He's kind of a blowhard. He sticks his foot in his mouth quite a bit, but he really did a good one right here. Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have believed and have come to know that you are the Holy One of God." Wow. When life doesn't go according to Ed's intentions. I know I want it to all the time, but it doesn't. Likely that happens to you. Maybe without even realizing it, we look elsewhere to have our hunger for good satiated. We look elsewhere than God to have our hunger for good satiated. If you're looking for goodness, you don't have to look anywhere else. Not anywhere else. You don't have to go looking around for it. You need to look up. You need to, hope you have one in your hand. If not, if you don't have a Bible, you should take one. We've got those two bookcases back there. There are books in there. There are Bibles in there. If you don't have a Bible, I'm gonna gift you one of those today. Right, I may get in trouble for that. It may come out of my salary. That's okay. If you need a Bible, you should get a Bible. We got Bibles. We have plenty of Bibles here. This is a Bible church. If you need one, you get one. Look up. Look in. Here. It's in here. The goodness of God is threaded throughout our Bibles. Do that. Look into your Bible. See the character of God. And see that He is good, and He is all the good that you really need. All the good. If you want to live a life that honors God, then you need to think right. Right? You want to live a life that honors God, think right. If you want to think right, then you got to start talking to yourself. Yeah, I know that's the problem if you start answering yourself. But you need to start talking to yourself. You need to start teaching yourself. And the content of what you're looking for, the content of your conversations with yourself should be about what God is like. And how what he is like makes a difference in how you live. God is good. He is never not good. God causes good even when you do not feel His good happening. Okay, take your pens, pencils, writing utensils, feather quill with an ink dropper. Here's your homework assignment. One, practice God's goodness this week. What do you mean by that? Here's what I want you to do this week. I want you to go on a goodness of God hunt. Right? Notice the goodness of God occurring in your life. Intentionally look for the goodness of God and capture it. Take these verse addresses that we've seen. We've read a bunch of them. We haven't read them all. Take these verse addresses, look them up, write them down, keep them close, think about them this week, and find at least one to memorize. Find at least one to memorize. And talk to yourself and talk to someone else about God's goodness. Talk to yourself and talk to someone else about how good God is. Share your God hunt list with somebody this week. Next week, God is all-seeing. God is all-seeing. He is always good to you, and God always sees you. You're never out of His sight. Never, ever out of His sight. Let's pray now. Lord, we love You so much. We are glad that we can call You our Father. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, You are good, and we are so glad of it. Lord, walk with us this week that we may see Your goodness, that we may remember Your goodness this day and speak a word about Your goodness to someone this week, because we're asking it in Jesus' name. Amen.